Jema. So this is a unique problem which has come up more recently. It was there earlier also, but more and more, that there are people who are into other movements. Not in terms of their parent. When parents are there in a certain movement and they are not into it, it's easy, relatively easy, because they have not made any choice. For instance, Kavita, she comes from a Radhaswami background, but she was not initiated. So for her, this is ultimate. So, but because he made a conscious choice, the mother pulled her. But supposing one is initiated and one has even followed the path to an extent, and then at some point suddenly you discover Sri Aurobindo, or Sri Aurobindo discovers you. So there is a conflict in the minds of certain people, understandably, because Guru Bhakti is very deeply rooted in all spiritual traditions, and in India it is regarded as something which is the ultimate. So should one leave one's guru and go to the other, in our instance, Sri Aurobindo and the mother, or should one continue with the old and dabble with the new one, or should one abandon the new one and be with the old and shut the mind, no, I shouldn't get distracted. So the choice is not always in human hands, let me say that. Once you are attracted to Sri Aurobindo and the mother, there is a divine destiny, and whether you like it or not, you will start getting more and more attracted. You may live with conflict all your life, but it is a new consciousness, a new creation, something which has not been done before. So we have to understand, it's not like going from one guru to another. It is going from one possibility to another. So it's not like you are seeking mukti and one guru could give you mukti, but so could the other guru. And there are so many gurus who can give you moksha. And that's how we have in Pavitra Da's story, that Pavitra Da had practiced many forms of yoga when he was in China, in Mongolia and other places. And he had his own, whether you call the word master or not, but he was in a lamasari for 9 months with those lamas. So surely people had taught him ways and methods. And he had also tried the Buddhist way. And then he came here and Sri Aurobindo asked him, what are you seeking? He said, liberation. He said, there are some yogis in India, though they are rare to find, who can grant you liberation. But if you want something more, then you can stay here. So he didn't know what is something more. So he stayed on and stayed on and stayed on, and ultimately stays in her forever. That's the whole story. So we must understand, this is a little bit of a different and unique situation. It's not going from one guru who could grant you liberation, another guru, as they use the word nowadays, Sadguru. By Sadguru, I'm not referring to Sadguru, but Sacha Guru, and you know, all this. So it's not about distinction between Sacha Guru and fake guru and all that. It is supposed that all true gurus can lead you to the to liberation. And it's true that, in fact, Sri Aurobindo goes on one step further. Even if the guru is not full, yet because the disciple believes he is the divine will respond. So that is true, that, you know, if you really believe that a guru is a realized master, even if he is not realized. And there's classic stories, Kabir Das, his own guru Dharam Das was not evolved to that. I mean, he was a typical, they say Ram Bhakti and all these things were there. Whereas Kabir had a different approach. Gorakhnath and his guru Matsyendranath. So they are a classic example of disciples who went beyond their gurus. And because ultimately guru responds based on your seeking. And here we also have a clue to the story. So there have been disciples who have been moved by a deeper and larger impulse. And I am forgetting the name. Perhaps it was Ramanujacharya whose guru had told him, I am giving you this mantra, don't give it to anyone. Am I right? This is the story of Ramanujacharya. So, because if you see, it's a secret mantra. If you share it with others, you may experience whatever perdition of all. And he goes and he announced the mantra. And he was asked that, you know, why did you do it? He said, this is such a wonderful thing, why won't I share it? Now you see, his attitude was such. We know to what heights he has risen in his own right. Now, whatever else happened. But the fact is that he has become a whole school of thought along a unique line. So though he comes from a certain sampradaya, he went to another sampradaya, and there are number of other gurus like that. I'm forgetting another name, which somebody went to a Sikh guru, and he's from Maharashtra, and how he changed over from one line. He didn't become a Sikh, but in his own line, where there was no question of any violence, he introduced that, yes, where there is a need, you can fight back. So there have been, it's not Ram Dass, anyways, so perhaps Shivaji's guru, but I may be mistaken, probably. So the thing is that this very strict, rigid boundaries one should not make. And especially when you go to Sri Aurobindo, it's not just a question of changing one guru for another. It's changing one level to another. It's changing one possibility from another. And we should not say this as an egoistic thing that, well, Sri Aurobindo is something new. Well, he is new. You can't help it. I mean, as simple as that. Anybody who becomes acquainted with Sri Aurobindo's writings, even a little, knows three things which are different from the traditional path of yoga. One, in traditional yoga, the goal is personal mukti. In Sri Aurobindo's yoga, personal mukti is there, but there is the larger step, which is the collective emancipation of mankind. So it is a collective change which he, you know, aims at. Second is, this yoga doesn't end with personal mukti and, you know, release from the coils of death and birth, but for the terrestrial transformation. Terrestrial transformation means this earthly life should become life divine. And third is that this change is not only within, but even in the very physical, something which no yoga has attempted. I mean, you can always find some stories here and there and try to connect. Now, if the disciple is moved by this larger impulse, say he really aspired that, yes, this life on this world should change. Up till now, there was no option. So he had an option between one guru who can give you mukti, Vishav is another guru who can give you mukti. All that was needed was, who is a such a guru? Now that's a different matter altogether. But he never had the option. I know of people who have felt that, you know, this world should change, but they don't believe it can change. Why? Because it has been hammered into their head by their gurus or the movement that nothing can happen to this world. They have this theory of cycles in which it goes. There's the theory of Kaal, which has possessed the souls, and, you know, this all Maya. Several kinds of theories, right or wrong, we are not discussing that. All kinds of things. And so even if they have this urge, they stifle it. Why? Because the guru has said it's not possible. Now this is blindness. Because if your aspiration has gone beyond, it's like, well, if a student wants to study more than what his teacher can tell you, I'll take a very earthly example. You want to do PhD in a subject which in your university the teacher cannot do it. What do? You look for a teacher who can do it. And if there is a teacher, both logic, common sense, and the sage advice would be, go and do it, because that's your deepest urge. So that inner urge has to be respected. Now, not everybody comes to Sri Aurobindo with the idea of transformation and world. But if that has risen into you, then you have very little choice left. And whether you like it or not, you should go that side. Now, will your guru get angry? No guru worth his merit will get angry with a disciple who is going further. And a guru will understand that this was given to me. All gurus understand that this is an angle through which I have approached the divine. And take, for instance, somebody takes one to the divine through Shiva. Will he fight with somebody who says, no, but I am more fond of Krishna, I want to go through Krishna? Well, there is a Shaivite, they used to fight earlier, by the way. His sectarian outlook is different, but if you don't have a narrow sectarian outlook, and all true gurus will free you, even from all sectarian outlook. That's why Sri Krishna is Yogi Yogeshwar. He says, Shabda Brahmati Vartate. He gives you a very wide canvas of yoga. He says, Yam Yam Vapi Smaran, whomever you remember, ultimately I respond. He doesn't say, no, you are doing a wrong thing, I am not going to respond. Rather, he says, I dread karo your Shraddha in that. So, we have to understand that the spiritual path is not a straight line. It moves along many lines, separately, simultaneously. And one has to respect it, because we are entering into a wider and wider region. We are not entering into a narrower portal. Portal may be narrow, but mind to spiritual consciousness, there is such a vastness that sectarian outlook becomes impossible. That's why one cannot say anymore, my guru. And my guru is highest, my guru best is. Sounds so silly. You be faithful to your guru. Definitely, that's the fidelity. But you can't say, you know what, my guru is higher and better, you better come here. That kind of conversion, evangelistic approach, shows that one is not into a true spiritual movement for whatever its merit. One can gain to whatever extent by anything. But true spiritual movement liberates you from everything, including your sectarian narrow outlook. In fact, one of the first things it will liberate you from. Otherwise, it will be a religion, a sect or a cult. So this we must understand, that if aspiration has changed, then it has changed for something very vast. Shubhendu used the word grandiose earth. And more such souls are being born upon earth. Also because this new possibility is there. It was not there. So I know my parents, they would, traditional bhaktas, and so they would say, no, this cannot be, only Shubhendu is saying so. But toward the end, they were completely into Mother and Shubhendu. Because at some point, if you have this urge, and everybody, to a point, everybody has this idea that this world should become a better place, who will be such a foolish person who will say, no, individual salvation is the highest. This world, if at all there is divine working here, in it or outside it, but working upon the world in some way, then what is he doing? He can't leave this world half finished. Logic, pure logic, spiritual logic. And if divine is present in this world must become divine. So it's very natural that this urge is deep inside. And many of us, why did people turn towards us? Turn towards God? Because they find this world insufficient and unhappy. But if there is a possibility of new creation, Mother even goes on to say, even the great celestial beings would want to be born here. Then why wouldn't one want to participate in it? Most people would rather want to participate. And this is going to happen. So this problem of guru is going to come for those who are transiting from a traditional path. For those who never had anyone, they are lucky. So they don't have conflict. So they straight away, enter. So what you should do? You should respect your aspiration. Second, how do we know that the guru himself has not led us to this? Now, I have several instances of that. One I know of, Eshadi, who used to be drawn between Sri Ramakrishna and Sri Aurobindo. And when she would say Thakur, she would think of Sri Ramakrishna. Till one day she had a vision. She had this faculty and Sri Ramakrishna caught her by the neck and, "Where is he dragging me?" That was his way. And took her straight to where Sri Aurobindo is sitting, Sri Aurobindo and the mother, and literally thrusts her into his feet and say, "See, tell her, I have been telling her that she has to go to you." So then she realizes and they smile, benevolent smile. So there is no fight between the gurus, let me tell you. Fight is in human beings' fight. So gurus understand. It's like any good teacher. He will understand that, well, I cannot go beyond, but you have a greater seeking. Actually, the teacher himself should guide you. So who knows, the teacher himself is not guiding, because any real teacher will be able to understand that the urge within you is more than what, probably he can fulfill. So there should be again no conflict with regard to that. One can take it that this guru has led you to that guru. Third, we can go even behind. After all, what are we attached to? We are attached to the form of the guru, which is fine, which is important. It has its necessity. But ultimately, the guru is a representative of the divine. Parabrahma, guru shakshat parabrahma tasmai sri guruve namah. So if guru is the representative of the divine, can we limit the divine to this path or that path? Divine is ever unfolding in new ways. Rama transmutes, or if I may say so, comes back as Krishna. I see the world of difference in many ways. Essence is the same, dharma. But dharma of that age and dharma of this age. So that in the divine unfolding, divine himself brings out a new possibility. And it's very natural that divine himself will, it's between the divine and the human soul. The guru is the mediator as far as the form is concerned. Outer form, he is the form through which the divine has come to mediate. By his contact, the soul is suddenly awakened. But ultimately, we should not forget that he is a representative of the divine. And the divine is not limited to a guru, b guru, 10 gurus, million gurus. He is the guru of gurus. And he is not only a guru, he is also mother, father, friend, beloved, everything. So it's quite possible that the soul has developed to a point and the divine himself is impelling us to go beyond the form of the guru. So this is how one should look at it and see what one really wants. People often used to ask me, as you see, my problem is because many movements you anyways come across and people feel you are a bit spiritually inclined. So they would ask, for instance, my in-law's place, Radha Swami. So they used to, again, a very evangelistic attitude, to convert you and drag you into. So wherever you go, people want to drag you and convert you. So as you see, I am looking for something which you can't give me. So they used to feel very hurt. So I said, see, I am not looking for individual mukti. To me, it's a selfish act. Oh, you mean to say that world will, no, it will not change. I said, maybe. But I can't help it. That's my aspiration. I can't settle for anything lesser. I said, I haven't found it even in Swami Vivekananda's writings and Sri Ramakrishna. So though I appreciate, admire this, Sri Ramakrishna has opened my heart to a kind of bhakti. But I am seeking for something which they cannot give me. At that point, even my understanding of Sri Krishna was ultimately, aham toa sarva pape bhyo moksha shami masucha. But I like that most because at least I am engaging with the world. So that's good. But why this world is and whatever the solutions were given, I was not satisfied. So Sri Aurobindo comes and I see the complete package. Oh, here it is. This is what I am seeking. So if you are seeking, you have to be faithful to what you are seeking is. So if the seeking is, of course, only mukti, the Sri Aurobindo's answer that there are few yogis in India, rare to find, but they can give you mukti. It's perfectly fine. But if you have a greater seeking, which is going to awaken more and more, then do we have an alternative to Sri Aurobindo? As simple as that. Then of course, at the end, it's all an individual journey. Your choices, your destiny. Nobody is here to compel anyone. Nobody is a loser. Sri Aurobindo is not a loser if you don't turn to him. He is not saying, get me more disciples. In fact, he is the one guru who has said, always stay away. Because it is a difficult endeavor, all said and done. It's a yoga which was never attempted. After the supramental manifestation, it becomes a lot more easier. But at that point of time. So, Sri Aurobindo is not going to lose. And let me tell you that even your own guru is not going to lose. As long as you have turned to the divine with a greater sincerity and aspiration, any true guru will be very happy. And I give that example as a dad. I am happiest when I see my son going further. When he uses a ideative understanding which I feel is one step further, or implements something which is beautiful in terms of his business and new model. I am very happy that you are doing something which, I never chose that as a line, but I am very happy. Which parent is not happy when they see their children going beyond them? I mean, I have not understood why should parents want to confine their children only to their limited thought. A true parent should be happiest as long as the child is going in a good direction. That means towards a divine unfolding, if you are interested in spiritual life. He's going towards something which is divine and beautiful. You couldn't do it. You didn't have the aspiration. Good, fine. Not good, but it's okay. But then your child has that greater aspiration. He has an option. If I couldn't become a doctor, but my child can become and learn something special, why not? I won't become a lesser person if I remained a medical assistant in my life and my son becomes a doctor. I would feel greatened, heightened. So I don't think that gurus are egoistic and with the spiritual ego and don't want. I mean, that's my feeling. And I don't think if he is like that, then he's also a guru. So a guru's love, because you have to become free from ignorance. And it's your seeking that frees you. So if somebody has that seeking, I think neither the guru loses. He's happy to see his disciple go one step higher, which probably he also was not aware. After all, there is no limit to the infinite. Not finding, but unfolding. And of course, I'm speaking in terms of Sanatana Dharma, not those sectarian religions. And Sri Aurobindo also is not going to lose if you don't go. But who is going to be the gainer or loser is you and your choice. So that one should see carefully what one really wants and take the lead of the divine take it as a blessing of the grace. Everything is a grace. On one side we say nothing happens without the divine grace. So if the divine grace has called you to a greater path, why not honor it and respect it? That would be the straight, simple logic of it. For the rest, there are all the complications of the human mind, to which none can answer.